Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Chris Perino. He's a former state attorney general, now the chair of Lowenstein Sandler's litigation practice, and most important, a great friend of the show. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Good to be back.
I'm glad to have you back. It's always great to speak to you. Today we have a little bit different kind of subject to talk about. Excuse me. And that's your appointment. Excuse me. Your appointment as chair of the state's Criminal Sentencing and Disposition Commission. First, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Your immediate predecessor was former Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, Deborah Poritz. So, to paraphrase Ron Burgundy, this is kind of a big deal. What does it mean to you? How do you feel about it?
Look, it's first of all, it's a great honor, frankly, yet another opportunity and honor that I'm sure I don't deserve,
Oh, don't be so modest.
especially now trying to fill the shoes of the Chief Justice, which it was going to be very difficult to do. But I'm very grateful to Governor Murphy and to Senate President Scutari and to Speaker Coughlin for giving me this chance to chair the commission. I mean, look, this commission has actually been around for quite a while. It was
2009,
formed,
I think, yes.
yeah, right, all the way back in 2009. But it's only issued three reports. One in 2019, shortly after Chief Justice Poritz came on board, and then again in 2000. In 22 and 2023. And basically the commission, I think, as you know, is aimed at hopefully proposing and implementing fairer and more practical sentencing laws, with a particular focus on racial and ethnic disparities. Commission has had about 13 recommendations so far, three of which have been implemented by the legislature and another two which were implemented by the Attorney General by way of directive and another through the courts by way of a decision. So, there are a lot of good ideas already out, in black and white. And we have been, since my appointment, spending lots of time getting up to speed, researching those proposals, as well as thinking about some other ones. And I've been really grateful for the outreach that I've received from people who are on the commission and not on the commission who have an interest in the important work that we're going to be doing. So I'm looking forward to jumping in. It gives me a chance to get, sort of back in the saddle, having served as counsel to the governor and then as AG. I did a lot of work trying to bring the various stakeholders together, the legislature, defense lawyers, prosecutors. I really enjoyed doing that work. We had some success at it along the way, and I hope we can have some success here on behalf of the commission. So
Okay.
overall, I'm grateful and humbled and a little bit, sort of intimidated by the work that has been done and the people who are doing it. But we're gonna hit the ground running as best we can and hopefully get some more good ideas out there and implemented.
Okay, well that actually was the first thing I was going to ask you was just to give us some idea for how the commission works, how it conducts its business. You said it's issued three reports. Is that essentially what it does? It just sort of does research into these kinds of issues, as you said, focused on racial and ethnic disparities. What can we expect going forward from the commission under your leadership? How is it going to look? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, so the statute basically requires a report be issued annually for, quite a number of years after the commission's formation. That didn't happen. We're going to do our best to make sure that does happen. But more importantly than the words on the page, I think, is going to be the effort that is undertaken to find, to the extent that there are ideas that we'll come up with, and I think we will, that have not yet been formulated by the commission. Not only to come up with good ideas, but to come up with ideas that can actually be implemented. Because, as we learned, and I happened to be in the governor's office when the bail reform and the largest criminal justice reform, I think, in the state's history, when that statute was passed by the legislature. So I, got to see how the sausage was made there. And then just by, some luck, I guess, among other things, I ended up in the AG seat as Attorney General when it came time for this, for the bail reform statute to be implemented, and when it
Okay.
became effective January 2000, 2017. So, I watched the sausage getting made, and then I ended up in the seat where, I guess in some ways I had the opportunity to eat it. And we did. There was lots of controversy around it. But the thing that I learned through both of those undertakings was that, the reform has to be balanced. In New Jersey, at least, you need to have bipartisan support for these kinds of reforms. And, bail reform is as good an example as any, where you had a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature, and you had that push-pull between, just not to generalize, but the Republicans who wanted to make sure that violent criminals were off the streets, and Democrats, again, maybe to unfairly generalize, want to make sure that nonviolent criminals aren't spending time that they shouldn't be spending in jail. That produced a really effective reform, and I think the national model for bail reform. Go across the river and look at New York, where there was not really a bipartisan effort. I think Governor Cuomo at the time did what he could, but the balance tipped in favor of sort of the defense aspect of things and defendants. And all you need to do is take a walk, in the theater district to know how that's working. So what we've learned, and I think what we're going to do via the commission, is find areas that have appropriate balance between making sure people don't spend more time in jail than they need to, and not interfering with the work of the prosecutors to make sure the violent criminals are off the streets. When we find those reforms that have that appropriate balance, those are the ones we're going to go to work on getting implemented. And that's how, how we functioned when I was in the Attorney General's office. And I'm really looking forward to getting back in the saddle in that way.
Okay, well, that actually, I was curious about that too, is when you were in government, particularly when you were Attorney General, the top law enforcement officer in the state, how did you view the work of the commission? Was it something that you valued? Was it something that you paid attention to? What was your relationship with the commission at that time?
Yeah, so there really wasn't one.
Okay.
It wasn't active, and instead, there was a lot of reform going on at that time, mostly
Okay.
in the context of the new bail reform law that was being put together. And that I think is more than more reform than has been done in the last 100 years.
Right.
So those years when the commission was inactive, folks were very, nonetheless, very active in doing criminal justice reform. The commission has really come into its own in the last few years during the Murphy administration, since Governor Murphy populated the commission with members, and when Chief Justice Porras came on board and devoted an extraordinary amount of time to the work that the commission has done. So I know that the commission has worked very closely with the AG's office since then, since 2018. And I'm
Okay.
looking forward to working hand in glove with them, but also together with the Public Defender's Office and folks from the ACLU and criminal defense lawyers around the state, many of whom we've already spoke to. So I fully expect that the cooperation and the collaboration will be there, and we'll be looking for opportunities to again to figure out some really good ideas that actually we can get past. Which, you can have the greatest idea for reform on the planet. If you can't get it done, it's just words on a page.
Right. Okay, well, I'm curious then about the sort of cultural societal context that the commission is working in now. Obviously, it's a lot different. The world is a lot different now than it was in 2009, and it's a lot different now than it was back when you were Attorney General. And you said as you say, the commission was dormant. I mean, we've had the a deadly global pandemic, the George Floyd protests, legalization of recreational marijuana. Has the need for the commission or the approach that the commission should take changed over time since it was created to now in 2024?
Yeah, I think, ironically, this criminal, the criminal justice reform effort travels through peaks and valleys. And one of the things that we have seen in the last, post-pandemic couple of years is a phenomenon, more pronounced in New York. But we saw some of it here in New Jersey as well, where there was an increase in certain kinds of criminal activity, auto thefts, and some other areas where we saw upticks, I guess it was about a year or a year and a half ago. And so what happens is, everybody's focus sort of shifts to the enforcement side. We gotta tighten things up. We have to become more stringent. And I mean, across party lines, you had, very liberal mayors and stakeholders coming out and saying, we need to tighten bail reform to keep people in jail, ironically, right? So now I think we're coming into a time where things are again a little bit more balanced, at least in New Jersey. That uptick, if there even was a real uptick, was short-lived. I think we're seeing great success again in terms of violent crime reduction and crime reduction overall. And I think that environment makes it easier to get the work done at the commission.
Okay. Now, obviously, we're a business public. What should business owners, corporate executives, how should they view your work and the commission's work and your work generally with the commission and where it's going and then how it might impact them?
Yeah, look, the goal, I think everyone's goal is to do our best to make sure that people who don't need to be in jail aren't in jail. That does two things. One, it saves the county's money because fewer inmates mean it costs less to house them. But perhaps more importantly, and particularly as it relates to our diverse population, the need to get people out of jail as quickly as we can without endangering communities is among the most important things that we'll do as a commission. And the reason for that is the longer you spend in jail, the less likely you are to be successful to get out when you get out. People who spend longer times in jail very often commit new crimes more frequently. And so the message to the business community is, and I hope people will hear it, their goal is to get folks out and into the workforce and living productive lives for themselves and participating in their communities. And I think we can do more on that. I think the state can do more on that, and the legislature can do more on that, and that's what we're going to try and help them do.
Well, safe to say then, with you as chairman, the commission will not be dormant for as long as you're there.
We will do our best not to be dormant, and I'm optimistic with the commission members, and there is a really well-pedigreed group here already assembled, and many of them I know and have worked with before. A few of them I'll be getting to know, and I think we've got a very qualified group and lots of energy, and I'm looking forward to engaging with them.
Well, then let me stay with that and ask you to put your business hat on and tell me a little bit about how the firm is doing, how your litigation department is doing. What's business like these days?
Yeah, so the litigation practice has remained really very busy. We've been in growth mode, since I got back into private practice, I guess, in 2018, and we've been very fortunate in that regard. And frankly, the enforcement offices here in New Jersey and in New York have been very active, and that's what keeps at least the white collar practice here busy. And we're going to, I think, continue to grow this year with some hopefully interesting lateral additions from, as you've seen in the past, not just from other law firms, but from government and perhaps from the judiciary. I think the transactional practices here and at many firms slowed a little bit last year, but we're seeing some additional signs of life and activity in the first quarter. So we're optimistic about that. And, you know, we had a good year last year. We expect we'll have an even better year this year. And it's pretty consistent with what I'm hearing from my colleagues and friends who are at other law firms in the area.
Okay, well, that was the next thing I was going to ask, was what you're looking forward to in the next, for the end of this year and into next year. You're, sounds like you're, you those trends, those early trends that you're talking about, you're expecting to continue.
Yeah, look, it's always, you know, you always worry about what's going to happen 6 months from now.
Oh.
But
Yes.
I, and of course you never know, but I think if things continue in the direction that they've gone in the first quarter here in 2024, the law business will have a good year in 2024. Listen, it's been a great, you know, couple of decades to be a lawyer, honestly. And you know, I remember in the earlier part of my career is, you know, not, I don't think nearly as, and look, part of this is my own personal perspective, given the, you know, given the amazing opportunities I've been given by others. But I think lawyers have done better overall economically in the last decade than they did in the decade before. And we're seeing that, you know, not just in New Jersey, but in New York as well.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Since I've got you here, I have to ask you about what is sort of the biggest controversy, I guess, political controversy in 2024 in New Jersey, and that is the dispute over the county line, the ability of local county political organizations to essentially put their preferred candidates in prominent positions on the ballot. There's a constitutional challenge to that. As you know, a judge recently found it was unconstitutional. What was interesting, though, early on was that the current attorney general, one of your successors, Matt Plotkin, decided he wasn't going to defend the county line in this suit, which put him at odds with Governor Murphy, who thought it was a fairly good idea, and his wife was running for the U.S. Senate nomination and likely would have benefited from it. That's the part that I'm curious about, is the relationship between the attorney general and the governor. How often does that happen, where the attorney general finds himself or herself, as it were, in conflict with the governor's office? And is that a sort of a normal thing that you have to deal with day to day?
Let me just start by saying that I don't think there's anything normal about the circumstances involving the line. It's
Okay.
just it's so unusual when we consider, you know, all the factors that were at play and are at play in connection with that matter. But to answer your question directly, the Attorney General's office and the governor's office often disagrees.
Okay.
It was not uncommon during my tenure for we in the AG's office to have disagreements with the governor's office. And by the way, when I was in the governor's office, it wasn't uncommon for us to have disagreements with the AG's office then. So I've sat in both seats, right? When, you know, when I was chief counsel to the governor, I guess John Hoffman was AG. And when I was AG, you know, Tom Scrivo and after him, few other folks were chief counsel. So, you know, I've lived in that space from both perspectives.
Okay.
And there is just by nature of the business opportunities for conflict. The conflict, you know, however, just to be clear, is only in respect of civil matters, right? Criminal matters, the governor's office doesn't have any visibility to or involvement with. But you know, of course, this was a civil matter, and you know, there's no question that there was a conflict. You know, I'll just say with respect to this, I can't weigh in on the merits of the lawsuit. We've seen what's happened, right? We've seen the decision by the district court judge. We now know that the application for a stay made to him and made to the Third Circuit has been denied, and there's a briefing schedule set up for a fairly quick hearing before the Third Circuit, you know, coming up in the next week or two. And so that's, you know, played out quickly and obviously in a way that favors Andy Kim and those who are against the line.
Right.
But, you know, I know Matt Plotkin pretty well. You know, he was my partner
Absolutely.
before he was the attorney general.
Right.
represented the Murphy administration, a few years back. And so I've had a lot of time to get to know him. And I said at his swearing in, where I had the privilege of speaking publicly at his investiture, I said then that Matt Platkin was unafraid. He is not someone who shies away from a challenge or from controversy. And he's tough. And I made those points because for the people who didn't know him or didn't have experience with him, it wouldn't necessarily be so obvious because he doesn't perhaps come off as as this tough sort of warrior. But he is tough. And I think
Okay.
he's demonstrated both of those traits over the course of his tenure as AG, and in particular over the last several weeks.
Okay. Now you said that sort of conflict between the AG's office and the governor's office was not uncommon, but is it not uncommon for it to become public in this way? With such a, as I said, this is that probably is the biggest political controversy of the years up until now. And it got a lot of attention. I mean, is that I'm trying to think whether I can't remember anything sort of bursting into public view quite like that.
Yeah, look, and we had plenty of disagreements. I can't remember all of them, but I can tell you that at least during my tenure, those disagreements for the most part resulted in consensus one way or the other.
Okay.
The only other thing I'll say about this is that I think we all know that Matt Platkin and his family and Governor Murphy and Tammy Murphy and their family are very close. While I can't weigh in on the merits of the lawsuit, I can say with I think relative certainty that this has been very difficult personally for the Attorney General and
Okay.
a difficult decision, I suspect, for him to have made. And I'm sure difficult for the Murphys personally as well. These are not easy issues, and this one in particular is very difficult. And I wish them all the best in working through it. But he is unafraid, and really, I think, has demonstrated that in some of the decisions he's making. And not just this one. We're seeing a lot of activity on the enforcement side. And when we talk about the business and what we're doing here, an awful lot of activity out of the consumer fraud folks in Newark and the affirmative litigation people in the Division of Law, as well as out of criminal justice on the criminal side. And so he's obviously driving and motivating people to make cases or try to make cases. And we're seeing a fair amount of that on the outside now.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And before I let you go, you mentioned at the top how much you enjoy the work of government and business of government. You ever think about getting back in, or is this chairman of the Sentencing Commission as close as you want to get?
That's the greatest thing about having opportunities like working on the Sentencing Commission. I can participate and hopefully add some value and hopefully give back a bit, and sort of scratch that itch which I have and have had to do public service, but also to continue to help our clients here at Lowenstein Sandler and not abandon them again as I did the better part of 5 years. So, on that, I would say you never know, Jeff. It's hopefully a long life, and we'll see where it takes me. But for right now, I'm enjoying private practice and dabbling on the public side when I'm allowed to.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you'll at some point during that long life come back and share some of your thoughts again. That'd be great.
Anytime. I really enjoy speaking to you, and I appreciate the opportunity, Jeff.
Okay. Former Attorney General, now Chair of the Litigation Department at Lowenstein Sandler, Chris Perino. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time.
You got it.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.